we're talking about the patience like Job. Often, you know, if there is one person in the world, in the history of the world, that is associated with patience, it has to be Job. You know, people, even people who don't even know anything about the Bible will sometimes, well, he's got patience like Job, or he's got the patience of Job. And they probably, they don't even know who they're talking about. They don't even know who Job is. But they, that phrase is just something, because patience is so associated with him that everyone recognizes that. As we think about patience, and we think about that in the life of Job and also in our lives, we want to think about, first of all, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 15. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. We were just talking about the elders, weren't we? And here's Paul talking to the Thessalonians about the elders as well. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Be patient with all? That's hard, isn't it? Patience is something that does not come naturally to most of us in our society today. We live very much in a microwave culture. In fact, if we could find a way to cook food faster than a microwave, we would do it. If we could just figure out how to make it happen faster. That's what, you know, fast food, it's all about, you know, how quickly can they get that order and then get that food to the customer? As fast as they can. And of course, because of that, sometimes the quality is not quite what we wish it would be, because they're in such a hurry to get it done right that they've got the burgers and the fries already cooked and sitting there and getting cold and getting old before we even order them sometimes. But we certainly, patience is a difficult thing. And how many times do we see people becoming impatient? How many times do we become impatient? The story is told about the woman whose car died at the stoplight and the light turned green. She couldn't get it started again. The driver behind her started honking his horn just incessantly, probably started yelling out the window at her as well. Well, she helped him with his patience a little bit. She got out of her car, walked back to his, and said, I can't seem to get my car started. If you would please go try and start it, I'll sit here and honk your horn for you. You know, sometimes there are things that we could do to help the situation instead of just becoming impatient with the problems that we're facing. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verses 8 and 9 says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Isn't that, you know, that's what, hey, we can't wait to get to the end of something. And a lot of times it is, you know, it's good for certain things to be over. You know, you got that trip to the dentist, you got that trip to the doctor for a test, you want that to be over. The end is better than the beginning. But also it says the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. In class today we'll be talking about pride and those who are proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to get angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. The Bible warns us greatly about the danger of anger. You know, the old saying is that anger is only one letter away from danger. It's so close. And that hasty spirit, that lack of patience, leads a lot of times to anger. And as the wise old Yoda told us in the Star Wars movies, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to the dark side. You know, we don't think about it sometimes, but you know, when we start getting angry, we start losing our ability to think clearly, and we say things and do things that we should never do. In fact, it's been said that someone who is in an angry rage behaves and their brain functions like someone who is drunk. And we've heard people talk about, you know, somebody that's just drunk with rage. They're just drunk with anger. And that's exactly how they act. They don't think, they just act. And they scream and they yell and they hit and they throw things and they, you know, and people have been killed. Many people have been killed because someone lost their temper. They ran out of patience. And we need to watch out for that in our lives. God is patient, first of all, we want to notice. And we're not going to read all of these scriptures because we really want to get to talking about Job. But in 2 Peter 3, 3 through 9, the Bible talks about God made a promise and He's not slack. He's not forgetful, but He's long-suffering. He's patient. In Psalm 86 and verse 15, You, O Lord, a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. God is patient with us. He's long-suffering. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul talks about how he obtained mercy so that Christ could show how patient he was. Here was someone who was persecuting his bride, persecuting the church. Now, gentlemen, how would you feel if somebody was picking on your wife, hitting your wife, poking her, cutting her, threatening to shoot her, doing all sorts of things like that to your wife? How would you feel about that? How did Christ feel when Saul was doing that exact thing to his bride, the church? Cutting off fingers and toes. He was taking members of Christ's bride and throwing them in prison. Taking members of the church and trying to get them executed like he did Stephen. How did Christ react? Not the way we'd react in that situation, did he? I mean, we'd get violent pretty quick, try to protect our wives, but Christ instead, amazingly enough, actually turned Saul's life around so that he would become one of his followers. The story is told, and of course just an imaginary story, but the man asked God, "How long is 1,000 years to you?" And the Eternal One answered with just a blink, "Just a day." And the man said, "Lord, how much is $1,000,000 to you?" And he said, "Just a penny." The man began to think and he said, "Well, Lord, can I have just a penny?" And the Omniscient One replied, "Maybe tomorrow." You know, we sometimes don't realize that God's time is not our time. We don't always understand why He does the things He does and the ways that He does them and at the times that He does them. But we need to understand that His ways are far above ours. We don't understand. But we can understand that He is doing what is best. He is patient. He's not hasty. He will accomplish what He wants to accomplish, even if it takes Him 1,000 years of our time or 2,000. You realize from the time of the fall with Adam and Eve, and He promised your seed is going to crush the head of the serpent, it was nearly 4,000 years before that came to pass. God wasn't in a rush. He wanted to make sure it was done right. And He did it right. As we think about Job, we have to realize, before we think about Job being patient, we have to realize God was patient with Job. Job, throughout the book of Job, is talking, "I wish God would just come down here. I wish He..." And God could have, the first time He said that, He could have come down there and said, "Boom, you're dead. How dare you question me? How dare you wonder what I'm doing? I'm God." He could have done that. But He was patient. He waited as Job and his friends discussed theology for chapter after chapter, and I very seriously doubt that all of the discussions that they had are recorded in the book of Job. I imagine they argued and argued back and forth day after day. I mean, you got these guys came and sat with him for days being quiet before they even started arguing. If you can sit there quiet for that long before you start arguing, how long are you going to argue for? We don't know how long they argued, but I imagine there's probably a lot more that they argued about than just what's recorded there. Kind of like the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that sermon, it says, and with many other words. That's not all there was to it. He had a lot more words to say. So we need to think about that, though, that God showed patience to Job first. He was the example, and he is to us as well. God is the ultimate example for us. And then, of course, other individuals, other people who emulate God, who try to be like him, then we need to follow them as they're trying to follow him as well. We want to notice then that God commands our patience. In James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, we say, therefore be patient, brethren. We sometimes take things or leave them. You know, well, I'm just not patient. Well, then you need to work on that. James says, be patient, brethren. He didn't say, well, if you want to work on patience, you can. That's not what he said. He said, you do it. You be patient. If you're not, you better work on it. It's just as much a command as any of the other commands in the Bible right here. In Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, also there he mentions, you know, the prophets being an example of patience. And twice in that he says just flat out, you be patient. And then he gives examples of others who were patient as well. He talks about the farmer and how the farmer has to wait with the rain and all of the seasons and how that, you know, you can't rush that. You know, you plant that seed in the ground, there is nothing you can do to make it come up any faster. It's going to come up when it comes up. Different seeds have different germination times, and they're going to come up when they come up. You know, you can't speed the clock up on them. Romans 2, verses 5 through 7, he says that he will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. You know, sometimes you go, well, we shouldn't seek glory. We shouldn't seek honor. We shouldn't be doing this just to get eternal life. Well, why not? That's what he says we ought to be doing. We ought to be seeking glory, honor, and immortality, just not glory and honor from men. We need to be seeking glory and honor from God. But there's nothing wrong with seeking that, but by patient continuance. We have to continue patiently in order to receive that. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 also talks about long-suffering and bearing with one another. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 mentions things that we need to put on, and it puts in there long-suffering and bearing with one another. What's interesting about the book of Job is, and I don't know, maybe you've noticed this before. If so, it's a good reminder. If not, this is something to think about. Job was known by God. He wasn't just some random person. God knew Job. And he knew Job's abilities, and he knew Job's limitations, and he knew that Job would be able to endure patiently the trials that he faced. And here's how we know that he knew. In the beginning of the book of Job, who was it that suggested Job as the test case? Who was it that brought Job to Satan's attention? See, it wasn't that Satan brought Job to God and said, well, God, you've got this guy Job. I bet I could get... No, God said to Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really want God to bring me to Satan's attention. I, I get enough attention from Satan without anybody pointing him in my direction. But that's how much God knew about Job, is he knew I can point Satan and say, look at him, and Satan can look at him, and Satan won't be able to win that one. Can you imagine? Could God point you out and say, hey Satan, have you considered this servant of mine, this child of mine? Have you considered this one? God knew that Job could endure it. He knew he could handle it. He will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. The Bible tells us that. And so Job faced things that we can't even begin to imagine how much he suffered in that short amount of time. Some have had some of the things that happened to Job. I've never yet met anyone who had all of the things that happened to Job happen to them. Yeah, there's been people that have lost their children. There's been people who have lost their property. There's been people who have lost, you know, houses and land and various things. There certainly have been people who have lost their health, have had, you know, illnesses and even terminal diseases, yes. But Job suffered all of those things in the space of a couple of days. I mean, he was just like, boom, boom, boom. All of these things, just right one after the other. Most of us would just crumble in a situation like that. Well, let's consider the source of patience. Of course, we know, of course, ultimately, the source is God. We have a God of patience. Romans 15, 5 through 7. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. He's the God of all patience. He wants us to be like Him in that respect toward each other. Be patient with each other. Christ gives us strength for patience. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. He talks about how through, according to His glorious power, down in verse 11, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. We are strengthened with might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, I don't know that in the life of Job we see a whole lot of joy. There's not a lot of joy there necessarily, but he did suffer certainly a lot more than most of us can ever imagine suffering. And then, of course, patience comes from suffering, Romans 5, 3 through 4. But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Perseverance, that's the patience. The patience to continue struggling through. We also know that faith produces patience, James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then Romans 8:24 as well. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So hope, our hope of heaven, should produce patience in us, that we can patiently endure whatever here on this earth because we have hope for something not yet seen. But Job's patience came from all of these things, from all of these sources. And you say, wait a minute, Christ? Wait, Job lived way before Jesus. In fact, Job may very well have been the first book written of the Bible. May have been written well before Moses wrote Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He certainly lived during the patriarchal age because we see him offering sacrifices for his children. So he lived. Now I know, you know, Genesis talks about the beginning, but it wasn't written until the time of Moses. But Job may very well have lived at the time of Abraham or even earlier than Abraham. Now, if you do some math and figure out all his children and grandchildren and so forth and how long he lived, there's a good chance he lived to be well over 200 years old, which was back in that time before Abraham. Abraham only lived to be 175. So it's very possible that Job was the first book written. Now it's interesting then that all of these things, we say, wait a minute, what, Christ? Back then, what did he know about Christ? Well, what did he know about Christ? Job 19, verses 25 through 27, notice this. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." We sing that song. Did you know that came from the book of Job? "I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he shall stand upon the earth." So Job said, I know I've got somebody who's going to redeem me. Not somebody that's here right now, but at the last, he's going to stand on the earth. Well, who redeemed us? Jesus. And then he goes on. Look at the hope that Job has. I'm surprised the Pharisees didn't throw this one at the Sadducees all the time to show the resurrection. "After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." How is that going to work? Well, we'd understand. Job's thinking about resurrection. He's thinking about living again after he dies. He said, "I'm going to die, but I'm going to get to see God anyway, even if I die, even if my flesh is destroyed, whom I shall see for myself with my eyes, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, but my heart faints within me." But he had hope. He believed that there was a Redeemer coming. Now, how much he knew about that Redeemer, about Christ, and about what he would do, we don't know. But he had hope, and he had a belief that there was a Redeemer coming, that there was a Savior that was going to save him and redeem him. And that helped him to have patience through these things that he was suffering. The benefits of patience, quickly, as we're running out of time. God responds. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry." The Lord will hear. He will listen. He will respond. Another benefit of patience is it brings maturity and completeness. James 1, 4. "Let patience have its perfect work, and you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." With other virtues, patience is part of keeping us from being ineffective and unproductive. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8, you'll add to your faith, virtue, and so forth. One of those in there is perseverance, or patience, in other words. Patient continuance in well-doing, that kind of thing. And he says, "For if these are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful." So now, patience certainly isn't the only thing there, but if we put those all together, they will help us bring fruit to Christ. A story is told about a husband and wife that decided to eat out one night. They didn't make any reservations, and they got to the restaurant, and it was crowded, and there were several people in line. And the fellow put the name with the hostess and then sat there waiting. And finally, a couple left, and they were complaining, "Oh, the wait was too long." Shortly after they left, the hostess called out for the Walker family. "Walker? You hear the Walkers?" Well, nobody got up. Well, the man convinced his wife, "If we pretend we're the Walkers, we can get a seat right now. They're calling the Walkers." So he stood up and walked up, and she said, "Walker?" And he said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, good. Glad you're here. We've been waiting on you. Your family's in the dining room." Sometimes it's better to be patient. Sometimes you will be embarrassed if you are not patient. Patience keeps us from being ashamed. It'll keep us from being embarrassed. And you know what's interesting is Job is remembered and honored for his patience. And we know that, certainly. That's all throughout our culture, even, we talked about earlier. But James chapter 5 and verse 11. James chapter 5 and verse 11. He says, "Behold, we call them blessed that endure. You have heard of the patience of Job." James is writing this to a group of people scattered all over. He said, "You've heard about the patience of Job." He didn't say, "Well, have you heard about it?" He said, "You have. I know you've heard of it. And I know that today. I know you've heard of the patience of Job." That's how well known he is. That's how much he's honored and remembered for his patience. And you've seen the end of the Lord, how the Lord is full of pity and merciful. And Job received back far more than he lost. But we often misunderstand patience. In class next week, we're going to look at some of the ways that we misunderstand patience and what patience really is and how we can really have the kind of patience we should. As we close, I just want to mention this. The woman's car had stalled. The man stopped to help. She flagged him down. She said, "I can't get it started, but if you'll jiggle the wire on the battery, I think it'll work. I think it'll start." So the fellow said, he grabbed the wire, and it was so loose, it just came right off, definitely, just so loose. Well, it needed to be tightened up. And so he said, "You know, I've got some tools in my truck there. If you just, I'll go grab that and I'll tighten it." No, and she said, "No, just wiggle the wire. Just jiggle that wire. That's what my husband said to do. Just when it won't start, just jiggle the wire. It always works. Just try that." He paused, wondering why her husband didn't ride around with her just so he could jiggle the wire, or why he hadn't tightened that up so she wouldn't have to jiggle the wire. Finally said, "Ma'am, if I jiggle the wire, you're going to need someone else to do it every time you shut the engine off. It's going to be loose and it's going to lose connection. You're going to have to do this every time and time and time again. But if you just wait for just a minute, I can tighten it up and it won't cause you a problem anymore." Reluctantly, she pulled out a wrench that she had in her own car. She even had the wrench in her car to tighten it. As he tightened the battery terminal, he thought about how many times he had, and maybe you can think about times that you have, or I can think about times I have as well, that we've asked God for a quick fix. Just jiggle the wire. Just do this right. We don't want to really solve the problem. Just fix this right now. How many times do we go to the doctor and we just want something to, you know, we've got a headache, so we take an aspirin. The headache may not, you know, that doesn't solve the problem that caused the headache. You know, we've got a fever, so we take the Tylenol and it brings the fever down, but it doesn't really solve the infection that caused the fever. How many times do we look for the quick fix that fixes the symptom just right then, but it doesn't really fix the problem? We just want to jiggle the wire, and we just want God to jiggle the wire for us spiritually. We don't want to be patient and wait for Him to actually fix the problem in our lives. We need to be more patient. What about you? Have you been patient as you should? Is that an area that you need to work on? Is it an area you're doing well in? Is it an area you could help others to do well in? Is it an area where you need help from others? If you have a need to respond to God's invitation because you maybe haven't been patient like Job, or even close, perhaps you need to respond as we stand and as we sing.